coming this fall. The Barroom Network presents two fired up Bears fans. They are ready to rumble on Da Bear Debate.
Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences. Welcome to another episode of Greg Gabriel Talks Football. My name is Aldo Gandia, and of course, the gentleman screen left is Gregory Gabriel. How are you, Greg?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Really looking forward to this chat because you've got to talk me and a bunch of other Bears fans down off the ledge. We're ready to jump out after that performance against the Buffalo Bills. What did you see? And please try to find some words of encouragement for us fans.
Well, number one, I don't put any stock in the preseason. I never have. And I've been involved in this, since 1981. And I'll give you a perfect example of the season. It was the 2000 season. I was with the Giants. It ended up being my last season with the Giants before I came to the Bears. And we looked awful in training camp. When the scouts were there for like the first 2 weeks, going right up until the first game. The first game was on the road, so we didn't stay for that. And our team looked horrible. Practices weren't good. There was fights in practice. Quarterback play wasn't good. I left camp thinking if we win six games, that'll be a lot. Kind of distressed. We went to the Super Bowl.
Not bad.
We didn't win the Super Bowl, but we went to the Super Bowl, lost to Baltimore. Okay, so it's and I've said this, that taught me a lot. The preseason is meaningless. What you're trying to do is prepare your team for the season. Now, last year taught us a lot because there was no preseason. Practices were cut short. So really the timing that the teams had was not nearly as much as this week or this year. We had a full go of preseason this year as far as practices, games cut down by one. But the overall practice time, plus there was OTAs in an off-season program, you got guys more ready to play. And like I said last week, the preseason is about individuals and figuring out who's going to be on your team, not necessarily team. And I guess Nagy made a comment this morning. I don't know the exact term he used, but basically you're seeing rinky-dink offensive schemes and rinky-dink defensive schemes in the preseason, and they mean nothing. Everybody wants you to, if fans and media want you to go out and look like you're getting ready to win the Super Bowl, and it's not going to happen. Another year, what year was it? 1991. I had to do a preseason game in Columbia, South Carolina on a Thursday night. And it was the Bears against the Bills. And the Bears killed the Bills. I mean, like by 40 points. And it's like the Bills didn't even show up. Everybody thought the Bills were going to be terrible. That was the first year the Bills went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And Marv Levy, treated, and that's a Hall of Fame coach, he treated the preseason like it was a necessary evil. And he's another guy that said it's about getting the team ready for the regular season. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, the Bears are going to make the playoffs. I'm just not going to worry about a lot of things that people are worrying about now, mm-hmm. because I just think it's unnecessary.
So it is about looking at individual performances, players winning one-on-one battles, players running crisp routes, players throwing the ball with anticipation, all of those kind of basic football fundamental things. That's the primary objective for the coaching staff, correct?
Right. And practices are more important for team than these preseason games are.
Mm-hmm.
But the preseason game is a live look, and it's good for your young people to get them acclimated to the speed of the game, the intensity of the game, the physicality of an NFL game versus what they played in college. And you want to see how they're going to step up. Sure, some guys are going to make mistakes. You know, and some people say, oh, I made a mistake, you're going to cut that guy. Not necessarily, because you're taking into consideration when you're evaluating a player in camp, it's not just on the preseason games. That's just part of it. Right. You know, it's every single practice. They're getting graded for every play at every practice.
Every practice is taped, and every practice is analyzed meticulously by the coaching staff.
Right. Absolutely. And the personnel staff.
Okay, good. Well, one of the things I want to talk to you about, ask you about, is the special teams play. Over the first two games, there just haven't been a lot of individual battles being won. The Bills took this punt down for a touchdown. This thing is being evaluated to see, you know, who couldn't break through a block, who missed an assignment on the schematic approach of running down the punt and so forth.
True.
So tell me, you know, and Matt Nagy said today, sometimes when you're looking at your roster, you're looking at guys that can play special teams and not necessarily the position that they're
right.
So tell me more about that, because everyone is super concerned about special teams. Chris Tabor's head is being called for again.
And then once the season starts, they always play good. You know, I work with Chris Tabor for a long time. I know him well. And most of those guys that you saw in there are not going to be in there in 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
or 3 weeks, whatever it is. And so you're just trying to find out the few guys that are. And when you said a little earlier, you know, like sometimes – in the makeup of a team, special teams come into play. Now, that could have been a breakdown. We don't have the coach's angle on that. Yeah. That's the TV angle.
Right.
And it's not bad, but you're not seeing it from the snap where mm-hmm. you're seeing, you know, the guys go down and where they're going. Are they going where they're supposed to be going, or are they leaving their lane too early or whatever? But, you know, the punt goes to the defensive or the kicking side, right side. Some of those guys probably left their lanes a little bit too early to get to that side
mm-hmm.
instead of waiting and then making it more difficult to cut back like the returner did in
right.
that game. But it's you use it then as a teaching point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of those guys was my guy, Caleb. He was a little bit and he missed a tackle, but I could say, you know, Caleb's a 4-7 guy. Guy returning the kick's a 4-3-5 guy. Okay, so he's not going to – I don't care who he is. He isn't going to make the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he 90 or 92, he's right there. He's coming off the block.
Right.
He's not going to make that. He's not going to make that tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the next guy?
Right.
You know, that should have been in there. If you play that over, where's the next guy? Because then you go to a couple punts later, the one in the second half, he goes on to take on a block and knocks the blocker right into the ball carrier, and the ball carrier goes down. Do you remember that play?
Absolutely do. It's a great play.
Right. So, yeah, he wasn't perfect on that play, but he was perfect on another play.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at his play in the thing. Now, is he going to make the team? I don't know. You know, they're probably going to keep four inside backers, maybe five at the most. And, you know, they got to figure if Danny Trevathan's going to be here. Contract, he hasn't played in the preseason, but contract says he's going to be here because you cut him and you're going to be over the cap.
Yes.
Okay, just on the dead cap money. Mm-hmm. So, and Roquan hasn't played. And you've got some other young guys. I don't think EA Bunuwe is going to be around myself, but he does do a fairly good job on teams, and that may keep him. And here's the thing. Your backup linebackers, your 4, 5, and 6 wide receivers, and your backup DBs, they make up a lot of your special teams. Sometimes the difference, I could be a better receiver than he is a teams player. The teams player are going to make the team because of his teams play.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, if he's got practice squad eligibility, he's going to go on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm. Now, and this is complete speculation on my part, Greg, but I imagine that what could potentially be happening when decisions about being which players are being cut are made, that Chris Tabor is saying, I want Iggy because he's such a good special teams player. And then the linebackers coach is saying, I'd rather have Ogletree. I know Ogletree doesn't have a lot of special teams experience, but my goodness, he plays that linebacker position at another level above Joel EA Bunuwe. Isn't that what's happening over the next couple of weeks?
Yep. And it's not a couple of weeks, it's week. Cutdown day is next Tuesday. It's 6 days away.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, now here, this is the thing that's an important part of the equation too.
Mm-hmm.
The roster on Tuesday isn't necessarily the roster that's going to be opening the season 10 days later, 12 days later. Okay, don't forget they're cutting down to 53, and then there's no game the next week. You know, so you know, so it's a team. And the other thing is, if you got a vested vet,
mm-hmm.
in other words, he's been in the league 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
If he's on the opening day roster, his salary's guaranteed for the whole season.
Right.
Whether it's $1,900,000 or $5 million, he's on the roster. Okay. Or he's getting paid every penny that, even if he gets cut 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
You wait, you cut him now, and you bring him back after game one. You can give him the same amount of money contractually, mm-hmm. but it's week to week.
Right. It's a dangerous game to play because he's got to go through waivers, correct?
No, he's a vested vet. He doesn't go through waivers.
Oh, okay. Wow. It doesn't endear.
So then what you do is you kind of deal with him.
Interesting.
You know, you just tell them, hey, you know, we're bringing you back.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be in the game the first game. We'll bring you back. And then they sign him back. You know, theoretically, you could sign him to a bonus. Give him a bonus when you re-sign him to make up for the game check he lost.
Mm-hmm.
Totally legal within the, you know, the scheme of the cap. Mm-hmm. But it's just that his salary does not become guaranteed from week to week. So it gives you a lot more flexibility. And you will see that around the league, that after game one, there'll be veterans that were cut at the 53 or sometime before the first game, not necessarily at the 53, but sometime before the first game, and then brought back after the first game.
Care to speculate on a potential veteran on the Bears team who might face that situation?
No, I haven't looked at it close enough yet. I think I'll wait until after Sunday's game. Another thing, okay, Trevor Jenkins. Okay, now they're saying they hope he's back this season.
Mm-hmm.
If they want him back this season, and the medical people feel he will be back this season, strong possibility, he will be on the 53 next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Next Wednesday, he'll probably go on IR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then he has to stay on IR. And I think if the rules are the same as last year, you only got to stay on IR a maximum of 3 weeks. Or a minimum of 3 weeks, excuse me. Then you can bring back guys to the roster starting after 3 weeks. It's three games. It's not three full weeks. So you'd miss three games. My feeling is it's going to be about 5 or 6 games that he's going to be out. Mm-hmm. And he'll be practicing part of that. That's if the surgery was what I think it was. And I was saying that to you in text.
Right.
You know, nobody's verified to me what it was. But if I'm right in my thinking, you know, he could be good to go, worst case scenario, the last half of the season.
Okay. So let's talk about that, because you and I exchanged some messages, and I need for you to explain to me what is happening with the process of evaluating somebody, injuries and health prior to the draft, and take us kind of through that whole process so that we can better, us fans can better understand what's going on here and why have the Bears seemingly made some choices on players who have had injury histories.
Well, first of all, nobody gets taken that hasn't been cleared medically. The medical grade supersedes what the evaluation grade is. And the medical grade isn't made by Ryan Pace, made by the medical staff, training staff, and the doctors. Mm-hmm. And they have long meetings. I've sat in those meetings for years, getting to go over each player. Now, I don't know what their grading system is now, but I can explain what we used. And we use a very simple 1, 2, 3, red 3, 4, red 4, 5 system. Okay, if a player was 1 or 2, he was real clean. Seldom is anybody a 1. That means he's never been hurt in his life. Yeah, okay, you get through football in college, you've been hurt, okay? If you miss a couple of days of practice, you've been hurt. Okay, so that puts you in the 2 category anyway.
Right.
And that's fine. Tommy Harris was what we call a red 3 because he had a knee condition. He also became you look at it and you don't want to take anybody that's rated lower than a red 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In our old system. Now they could have another system, different numbers, but it's going to say the exact same thing. Just, you know, different terminology.
Right.
We knew that going in, but the reward far outweighed the risk. And that showed in his play. And then he got hurt. You know, he had the severe hamstring injury where the hamstring totally detached and stuff. He had to have the surgery for that down in Dallas and a couple other things. But if a guy's a 1, 2, or 3, you don't hesitate to draft the guy. The guy's a red 3. That's like a yellow light. It's a flag. It's cautionary, and you discuss it, but you're not discussing it on draft night. You're discussing it a couple weeks before,
right?
And now here's the interesting thing about the medicals, is that now there was a medical combine this year, and it was for all the guys that had a history of injuries, you know, that were significant to some point. It was over 125 guys that went to Indiana. It was only like 2.5 weeks before the draft. So it was, you didn't have a lot of time to get things checked out, but enough time to say yay or nay. And what they do, if they did it the same as they normally do at the combine, there's 6 different orthopedic stations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you've got 5 or 6 teams in each station, Bears being one. They share that room with 5 other teams. It's the same teams every year, so the doctors know each other very, very well. They know how they think. And, you know, when a player comes in, the doctors from 6 teams aren't going over them. One of the doctors is, at most two of the doctors is, but they're sharing all the notes. Okay. But now you get the findings and team A might look at things differently than team B. Okay. And I've seen that happen within the room. And a lot of times it has to do with your experience with a particular injury. Okay. I know, you know, when I was working with the Bears, if a guy had an arthritic knee, that was, that wasn't good. And they would downgrade that more than, let's say, he had a shoulder, you know, that could, you know, like the Anthony Miller, a shoulder that could pop out.
Right.
Okay. And they go, yeah, we'll fix it. And that's it. But an arthritic knee doesn't get better.
Right.
Okay. So now it becomes, now you start going into history of the player. And how much practice time did he miss? And now that's on the scouts. You know, making your, when you're making your school visit, and you're talking to the training staff at the school, you're finding that out. How much practice time did he miss, you know, for injuries, et cetera. And so that comes into play. So if you've got a guy that's got an arthritic condition in a knee or a shoulder, something like that, and he's already missed practice time in college,
right?
Guarantee you he's going to miss practice time in the pros. So, and it's going to get worse. It might start off, he misses two practices a month as a rookie. The following year, it might be four or five practices a month. You know, because that condition, there's no cure for arthritis. The condition just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And so we used to downgrade those guys because they weren't going to do anything for you. But if you got doctors that are good in certain areas of, you know, for making repairs, I say, oh, hopefully we can get them through the season, then we'll fix it in the off season. He'll be good next year. You know, because don't forget, you're not drafting a guy for just today.
Right.
Hopefully you're drafting him for 10 years. So what the condition was that Tevin Jenkins had, I have no idea. You know, but the medical staff had to sign off on it. And I, you know, I made calls. Dan Pompey, who I, you know, is a good friend and I respect, he goes, well, you know, he was told that there's some people that had concerns. And there might have been. And I take Dan's word for it. He wouldn't have written that if that wasn't the case. But I may, I know a lot of GMs. They're, you know, I've known them for years and years and years. I make calls. I said, he's good. Okay. So if something flared up, I have a suspicion what it was, but if, you know, it flared up, the common way to heal it is just rest, but it wouldn't say unlock, to use a better term. So the next solution is doing surgery, but it's not a big invasive surgery. If again, I stress what I think it was,
right?
You know, it's very invasive and, you know, it's not a big deal. Yeah. It's a big deal because it slows up that rookie process and it puts you in a little bit of a bind. But again, you're he turns out to be a good player and becomes a solid starter for 7-8 years. It's a hell of a pick.
Craig, tell us why the secrecy over injuries. It's with this administration, you know, the Kevin White situation was kept a secret. Was that partly because they didn't know, or what have you? We don't know the extent of Tevin Jenkins' back injury. We don't know the specifics on that. Over and over, when it comes to player injuries, what is the strategy behind an organization just not being totally transparent on injuries?
Well, first of all, in the preseason, you don't have to disclose any injuries. He's hurt. He's out. Why? Because he is. And it's a they didn't used to do that. That's more recently. In fact, it's like since right before John Fox came here, and then And John fully explained to the media, we don't have to disclose what injuries are in the preseason. Right. And I'm not going to disclose it because that puts me at a competitive disadvantage. And nobody does. And that's why, you know, they give very little. And it's not the Bears. It's across the league.
Right.
Okay. So you're just following the rules that the league gives you. Now, could you open it up? Yeah, you could. But if the other team isn't doing it, why should I? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, yeah, fans want to know. But there's things that you keep private. And then you've got HIPAA laws, too. You got to be careful about that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks for clearing that up. Because, you know, we all, us fans who are voracious in our appetite for information, would like to get more details on that. But we understand that it does put a team in a competitive disadvantage. There are legal issues and blah, blah, blah. So thanks for helping us better understand that.
It might not make you feel better, but it is. I mean, that's the explanation. It's like we said off air. You know, and I said teams can differ on their opinion of a player, and a perfect example is a guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame in five more years, Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Drew Brees had a shoulder problem when he was in San Diego. You know, they're going to trade him, and the deal was supposed to be the Miami Dolphins. Nick Saban was the coach. Miami Dolphins flunked him, flat out flunked him because of that shoulder. Mm-hmm. New Orleans didn't. Okay, same condition, same shoulder. One team said up, the other team said no. and so my thinking is on this is that the Miami doctors with previous injuries like similar to that did not always have good results.
Yeah.
And especially at that position where they thought it might, you know, affect his throwing, hurt his arm strength, his ability to get some zip on the ball. So, and that I guarantee you that happens all the time. Because we used to get what, when I was working for the Bears, we used to get the medical grades from five other teams.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And generally the other teams that were in the room with us, you know, so shared. And so we knew what other teams thought of certain players. And then if you got good relationships, you can, you know, find out some other things. So you can say, hey, this guy's going to be a risk to some teams. Our people say he's good. Or it's the other way around.
Right.
You know, there's going to be guys that I can't remember the player's name. The defensive back played for a MAC school. We loved him. This was going into the combine. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy we thought we might be able to take in the second round or something and be a really good player until he got through the medicals. And the doctor said no. And, you know, I remember Jerry's like, oh, come on. Isn't there any chance? I mean, we kept like working it, you know, and you're begging and they wouldn't budge.
Please, please don't tell me that he's in the Hall of Fame now.
No, he had about a 2 or 3 year career and was done.
Okay, good.
Okay, so, you know, I've been in the room when there's been stories like, the doctor will go, because the doctors don't know how good these guys are. They're examining them.
Sure. Right.
Okay. How good is he? Well, he might go in the first round. What's that mean contractually? Well, you get it. And this is, you know, the rules have changed. You might get a 5-year contract. That's too long.
Oh, wow.
He won't be here in 5 years.
Wow.
You know, so that's what, you know, and that's using their medical opinion based on their experience. So I hope I explained that.
Yes, very much so. And people in the chat room are thanking you for that explanation. Now, along those lines, you know, this upcoming week, there's going to be some 30 players dropped from the roster, give or take. And Tell us about
27 to be exact.
27. Thank you. Tell us about your experiences of living through that. We've seen on the Hard Knocks HBO NFL production, the players coming into a coach's office and being told, you know, we liked what you did, but, you know, blah, 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 it's over. Can you share with us some of your experiences of going through this week, or in some cases, guys that you really perhaps were fighting for to either be on the roster or to get another chance, or you personally evaluated and so forth? What is that like? What is it going to be like at Halas Hall this week?
It's not fun. You know, I'll tell you that. And I'm going to say, in most cases, the decisions have already been made. Now, an injury could play into that.
Mm-hmm.
An injury this coming weekend in the game could play into that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody could really just jump out the window and play so good Saturday afternoon that it could, you know, change some thinking. But that's going to be few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've had a lot of practices. They've had a couple games. We can see, remember, I've said the two shows leading up to this that nobody knew exactly how this preseason was going to be treated, one being only three games, and two, there's 2 weeks between the last preseason game and the first game. And so, you know, are you going to see a lot of people playing in the final preseason game? And the answer to that is, from what I can understand, no. It's going to be – it's more so than the normal fourth preseason game, but it's – and I think, again, that goes back to last year where they said, well, you know, yeah, play was a little sloppy, but we didn't have anything last year, and we only had half a camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that it's – you're going to – a lot of the top quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, a lot of – I think I saw things like 15 of them, half of them hadn't even played.
Oh.
And they're not going to play. Mm. You know, and you'll see them opening day. And I know that Nagy said that where you'll see some starters is on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to bet, and I could be totally wrong, Jason Peters will not play this week. Guy's played 17 years in the league. What's one little game going to do for him?
Right.
He's going to get that. And, you know, he's been a 9-time Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll have 3 full weeks of practice before the opening game. And you go back to, you know, when I started in the league, there was guys holding out till 3 weeks before the all the time. And they'd line up and play and they'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the guy was sitting at home and not doing anything, he was in terrible shape, that's one thing. But he wanted to play this year.
Right.
But he was going to pick and choose where he was going to go. And he knew that there's going to be injuries and somebody's going to pick up the phone and call him. And he's probably going to have a choice,
mm-hmm.
you know, of where he could go. And when you look at the money they give him, they got him for a really good deal.
Yeah.
You know, really good price. So I would suspect, because they were working Wilkerson back on the right side,
mm-hmm.
that you're going to see Larry Borum almost the whole game.
At left tackle.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'm throwing a dart at the wall.
Sure.
You know, maybe Peters gets a couple series, and and then Borum comes in. Like Simmons played every snap the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he had a drop off from game one to drive two. And part of it's we talked about it last week. You know, the young pass rushers on Buffalo are really good and they're going to give these guys problems.
Ooh, yes.
Okay. And they did. But, you know, that when you're looking at the big picture, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they get to learn from that. And if the coach likes the player, likes the makeup of the player,
mm-hmm.
and sees how he practices, first of all, he can recognize the mistakes of, you know, was it a footwork thing? Was it a, you know, placement of his hands or what? Why did he get beat?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you go from there. Now, you're going to generally, it's going to be interesting. who the offensive line is going to be. They're probably going to keep nine. My thinking is Jenkins is going to be one of those nine, and then he'll get cut, not cut, he'll get put on IR the next day. And then somebody they cut at the 50th, you know, on Tuesday will be brought right back.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and now that could be, okay, you said that could be Peters.
Right.
What is it going to make a difference to what is he's making this year? Not a penny.
Now, C.J. Williams has a good question. He says, does Tevin come back as a right tackle since they like Borum so much at left tackle? Now, they still have to kind of make a determination if Larry Borum can play left tackle, and I think they're going to get a good indication of that this upcoming season. It does. I think it's a good question because we know that Tevin has played more at right tackle in college, and if he comes back for the second half of the season – why not put him in a comfort spot if the left tackle position is handled by either a Borum or a Peters or perhaps who knows who they might pick up to address that?
Well, and because when you go back to the draft, they drafted Jenkins to play on the left side.
Right.
Now don't, and we mentioned this in another show. And people keep trying to bring this up to me on Twitter, and I totally shut them down. Rashawn Slater, who was the second tackle taken, had 12 games at Northwestern at left tackle in his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, he was on the other side. Tevin Jenkins had 8 games. There's not a big difference between the two. And the sooner you can get him acclimated to that position, again, because you're not thinking just this year, you're thinking – next year, and you want to get him up and ready to go so that if something happens to Peters, he can step in and play. But in the meantime, if he's going to be out 6 weeks, you got to have somebody else in there ready to go. Borum athletically can play the left tackle position. He's just got to get used to it. And, you know, I'll bring up Penei Sewell, who was what, the number 5 pick overall?
Right.
He's a left tackle all his college career. He's playing right tackle. There is no difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're switching sides.
Now, Brad Briggs, I don't know if you saw his Q&A column in the Chicago Tribune today. He kind of disagrees with you a little bit on that. Let me.
That's par for the course. Big Z and I disagree. I, great friend, but we disagree a lot.
He says, and I'm just scrolling here to find it. He says that a longtime offensive line coach told him, think of it this way, of making that switch from right to left tackle. If you're a golfer and you swing from the right side, and now I give you a set of left-handed golf clubs.
Oh, no, I'm not buying that at all. Not at all. Because I'll tell you what, you go research all the offensive linemen in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
See how many are not playing the same position they played in college.
Yeah, okay. That's a great point.
Okay, how many were tackles in college and are guards or centers in the pros?
Mm-hmm.
How many were on the right side and now are on the left side or on the left side now on the right side? Jason Peters is another good example. He was a tight end in college. I made a school call at Arkansas during their bowl game prep.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in December. And he was a tight end. He was a tight end his whole time there. And he was 315 pounds. And a lot of the time he was lined up on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
He had a reputation in college of being a little lazy and overweight. That's why he doesn't get drafted. Plus he had never played tackle. Buffalo signs him as a free agent. He's on the practice squad at first. Then he lines up at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
After 1 year at right tackle, they move him to left tackle. And I think it's been 9 Pro Bowls since. Mm-hmm. You can arguably say he's one of the best left tackles ever played the game. I'm not saying he's not at that level now.
Sure.
So, yeah. Can you find a coach that's going to say that? Of course you can. But I can find you a bunch that are going to say it's bullshit.
Right. Absolutely. Ravi has a good question. He says, do you think that some teams may have taken Jenkins off their board because of the back issues? And as I go back and look at the first round and the offensive linemen chosen, the first one was Rashawn Slater, and everybody kind of predicted that he would.
The first one was Sewell.
You're absolutely right, at pick number 7. And then the second one was Rashawn Slater. And everyone, I'm sure, would have said those are the first two guys taken. And then perhaps Jenkins was third, but there were other offensive linemen picked ahead. The Jets picked Vera Tucker, the guard, Alex.
Who was a tackle.
Who was a tackle.
Now he's playing guard.
Right.
The pick after Jenkins, the offensive line pick after Jenkins, was Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame,
right?
Who was a left tackle at Notre Dame for 3 years. He's a guard at Miami. You see where I'm going with this?
Sure.
Okay. Now, the injury thing, you know, Darisaw was the Vera Tucker was the third offensive lineman taken.
Right.
Darisaw was the fourth offensive lineman taken.
Right.
He had some injury problems at the end of the year, and there were some teams that, you know, had some question marks on him. But having question marks and taking them off your board are two different things.
Sure.
Okay. So Dan did not say the teams had him off their board. Dan said there's teams that had concern. Okay. And, you know, depending on exactly what the situation was, that's probably true. But it's probably true that the equal number, because I talked to at least five, and they said he was good to go.
All right. I promise that I get you out of here within 45 minutes because you've got a sick dog that you need to attend to. I want to get one last question in, and it's from Ravi. I think we can all agree that Artie Burns had a pretty good game this past Saturday. And Ravi is asking, does he have a shot at taking Vildor's job? Well, first of all, Vildor hasn't been really assigned the starter job. So it's still, I think it's safe to say that those two guys are battling for that spot opposite Jalen Johnson. Am I right there? And what do you think about Artie?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. The problem with Burns is, you know, he got hurt last year.
Right.
And actually missed some time this year already.
Right.
So it's been durability, and he was an inconsistent player with Pittsburgh, and that's why they didn't bring him back for his fifth year. He's a first-round pick now. Late first-round pick, but he's a first-round pick. When his game's on, he's very good. But have we seen enough to know for sure? I know with Vildor, he got beat a couple times. They're all going to get beat.
Yep.
Okay, the week before, nobody threw on him. So he had to be doing something right because nobody threw on him. And so, you know, I think it's going to be, it'll be obviously be a coaching decision, but a lot of it's going to be not just what they did in three preseason games, what they do every day in practice. Who's the better, more consistent player? And then go from there. You know, Big Z had a question today. I just read his headline. I didn't read the whole article, and I always do read that article.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's very good stuff. But, you know, he questioned, is the one guy, Denard, is he going to make the roster? You know, and I would say, you know, that's probably a good question based on what we've seen in preseason, but we haven't seen – you know, it's not like we're a practice all the time,
right?
To judge, but I would say Duke Shelley's in more trouble than him.
Yeah, than Desmond Trufant.
Desmond Trufant. So you know, it's you know, they got some pretty good coaches coaching the DBs, and both of the position coaches have played in the league and understand the position. So, I mean, their input, Sean Desai's input, the personnel department has some input too. It's all going to play in. It'll be interesting. And like I said, what we see Tuesday might not necessarily be the roster on Thursday,
right?
Let alone the first game. you know, because there could be somebody on a waiver pickup, somebody on the, you know, from the 53 cut down, somebody on the street, a vet that gets cut that they go, hey, wait a minute, we bring this guy in. You know, all sorts of different scenarios that have to play out. And that extra week of time, you know, by cutting them next Tuesday, you're getting basically an extra week. They'll give them a long weekend. They might give them Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and then come back on Monday, you know, to start opening game prep. But it's still giving you a little bit more time to figure things out and to get ready and install your game plan for the opening day.
I like Ravi said in the chat room, I always learn something and more than one thing when talking to you about football. This has been a great 45 minutes. I know you need to tend to your dog. We will be back here next week, and hopefully when we are, that dog is going to be perfectly healthy.
I hope so. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Would you rather do this Wednesday with the cut down being on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Greg. Let's do it.
And we still won't have all the answers.
Right.
But we're gonna you know, there's gonna be some questions. But like I say, the right now the key one to me is what happens with Tevin Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Like ATN yesterday with Jacksonville, he got the Lisfranc injury to his foot, mm-hmm. and they put him on IR, so he's done. You go on IR before the final cutdown, you're done.
Right.
You can't come back.
Mm, okay. Yeah, it makes total sense for us to do this again next Wednesday after the Bears announce what the 53-man roster is forming. As you said, there's going to be changes. And we really won't need to talk much about what happened Saturday unless something dramatic happens. With Saturday's game against the Titans, but we'll get some talk in there as well regarding that. And I want to remind everyone that during the NFL regular season, Greg and I will be doing a show the day after every Bears game, and we'll get Greg's breakdown of the game, what he's hearing from his sources, evaluation on players, and so forth and so on. And, of course, answering your questions in the chat room. Greg, you're the best. Go take care of that pup.
Well, one other thing, although you know, maybe even Thursday's better. Thinking that, you know, I'm just trying to think through this, mm-hmm. and okay, you got your fifth cut down to 53, and then you're the next day at noon. You can start bringing back your practice squad,
mm-hmm.
and you can also guys that you want to put on IR. You'll do that the next day also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to tell you a lot about what the thinking is. And then you're going to have a more formidable squad on Thursday than you are on Wednesday. And probably mm-hmm. next Tuesday, it'll be different than, you know, a week from next Tuesday, it'll be different than it is Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of changes going in. But yeah, I think maybe putting it off till Thursday will be great. And as Ravi says in the chat room, that show will be effing great. So I'll see you back here.
What's effing mean? I don't understand.
You know what that means. And Ravi wants to know if you can pick his fantasy football team for him.
No, you know what? I don't know jack shit about fantasy football.
We had on Eric Kramer, former Chicago Bear quarterback yesterday, and he recalled a story where some fan called him over and said, "You and I are killing it this year on fantasy." And Eric was, "Fantasy? What are you talking about, buddy?" He had no idea what fantasy was. And now he co-hosts a fantasy football podcast. So
I've never played, and people ask me questions all the time. I go, I can't help you.
Well, maybe we'll get you to play next year, and you know, we can make a show out of that. Let's find a sponsor for Greg Gabriel's fantasy football debut. That would be outstanding.
My stepson is in like four leagues. And he lives in Florida, but he's always calling me or asking me. I go, I can't help you. I don't know.
Tell him to watch the Fantasy Football Goon Show here on the Barroom Network. That might help him. All right. You're the best, Greg. We'll talk to you next week. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.